At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, April 9th. Controversial plans for a million-square-foot data center in Imperial County are moving forward. More on that next, but first, the headlines. County District Attorney Summer Steffen recently testified in front of a state assembly committee in support of a bill that would close what she refers to as a dangerous criminal justice loophole. Assembly Bill 1959 would require an additional step for defendants under age 16 before transferring their cases. The DA's office says this stems from the Santana High School shooter's 50-year-to-life sentence being wiped out by a judge due to the shooter being 15 years old at the time of the crime. Currently, transfer hearings are only required for resentencing 16 and 17-year-olds. In a statement, Steffen said the law would close a dangerous loophole for juvenile offenders under 16 that results in their immediate release without any meaningful demonstration of rehabilitation, remorse, or assurance of public safety. The city of San Diego shared news this week of a new 5-year marketing partnership agreement with California Coast Credit Union. The deal reestablishes the credit union as the city's official financial services partner. CalCoast will provide more than $3.5 million in services at no cost, with the city also receiving just short of $1.5 million in direct revenue. Multiple programs across the city will receive support, including the San Diego Fire Rescue Department's Community Outreach Program and the city's Small Business Navigator Program. In a statement, the city says that CalCoast also has plans to fund youth financial education, literacy, and loan programs. The National Weather Service says that a slight cooling trend will begin today and continue into the weekend. Forecasters say that high temperatures in our coastal and valley areas are still expected to be slightly warmer than average for this time of year, with highs near 75 degrees. On Saturday, there is a 50-50 chance of rain, which drops down to a 40% chance on Sunday. Those mild showers will also be accompanied with some gusty winds as well in our mountain and deserts. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Imperial County Board of Supervisors voted Tuesday to clear the way for a massive and deeply controversial data center complex in the heart of the region. Reporter Corey Suzuki says that's despite fierce opposition to the project from thousands of county residents.
The vote was on whether to combine several parcels of land for the 1 million square foot data center complex. County officials say this was the only step where they had discretion on whether the project would move forward.
You guys are mad? I say vote no. You guys are mad at clapping and saying vote no?
10:15.
County officials tightly controlled access to Tuesday's meeting. Armed sheriff's deputies removed at least three people who had come to oppose the data center project. In one case, forcibly dragging a protester out of the room.
Go all the way back over there. I need the doorway clear. Now.
Eventually, the Board of Supervisors voted to approve the lot merger 4-1, with Supervisor Martha Cardenas Singh opposing. Supervisor John Hawk said the decision had been very difficult for all of them, but he emphasized that the developer still needs to secure water and power agreements and meet other procedural hurdles.
This project has a number of hurdles to overcome, and so let's all remember that this is just the road vacation and the lot merger, and that there is a ways to come.
The supervisor's decision could still be challenged in court. The city of Imperial is currently suing the county over the data center project, arguing they need a stronger environmental analysis. In El Centro, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
San Diegans are already feeling the effects of new federal cuts to nutrition benefits. Reporter Katie Heisen went to an emergency food distribution this week in City Heights.
Volunteers unload boxes at Metro Villas Apartments.
Oh, we got eggs.
Hey.
fresh cauliflower, strawberries, and eggs. Medina Hussein has been coming to this food distribution for a decade.
So this actually is helpful.
This month, the Trump administration ended CalFresh nutrition assistance eligibility for many immigrant groups, including asylees and refugees. That affects nearly 13,000 San Diego County residents. Hussein still has her CalFresh benefits, but she hears from others who are losing them.
I do hear, you know, like people getting terrorized by, you know, whether or not they will be able to, you know, feed the family the whole month.
City Heights Community Development Corporation says about one-third of the area's residents are foreign-born. Staff are working to expand food programs, including Javier Gomez.
We're seeing a spike of need, but we know that's just the tip of it, and it's just starting, so we're...
CalFresh recipients affected by the cuts will not be able to renew their benefits when they expire, meaning the need will grow over time. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
San Diego County's Animal Services has a new director and deputy. Reporter Elena Faro says it's the latest change after a KPBS investigation into problems at the department.
Months after San Diego's Animal Services Department cut ties with its department heads, the county announced a new leadership duo to manage operations. Dr. Brianna Sarvis is the new director of Animal Services. She's been the interim director since February and has served as the county's chief veterinarian since 2025. And Kendra King is the department's new deputy director. She comes from Ventura County's Humane Society. A county spokesperson said Sarvis and King were unavailable for interviews on Wednesday.
I really hope that this new assistant director, who can come to this with a fresh set of eyes, can say, you know, let's do this, 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 and this.
Tamara Nesson has volunteered for a local rescue that relocated dogs in the county shelters to foster homes.
So I don't know how their plan, what their plan is to work together. And that's what I think everybody's waiting with bated breath to find out. What is your plan?
The shelters came under fire last year after KPBS found the dog euthanasia rate had more than doubled in recent years. The Department of Animal Services has acknowledged the need for improvements and is being audited. Elena Alfaro, KPBS News.
The melting pot idea has been central to the American story for over a century. Reporter Gustavo Solis examines the facts and fiction surrounding the metaphor.
Hello, and welcome to the KPBS Kitchen. I'm Gustavo Solis, the immigration reporter here at KPBS, and I thought it'd be appropriate to make a stew, specifically in honor of the great American melting pot. Okay, let's start with some spices. Why don't we put in some Mexican chipotle, some Egyptian cumin, and some Indian turmeric. Then we'll mix it up with some Japanese miso paste, and don't forget to add all-American farm-raised chicken. And now, all we have to do is put on the top, sit, wait, and let all those flavors mix in together. After all, the U.S. has always considered itself a special place where people from all over the world can live in harmony. But let's be frank. History shows that we haven't always lived up to that ideal. And in the hyper-polarized time we're living in now, it seems like half the country thinks melting pot is a bad idea. I've enlisted the help of two experts to teach us the history of the melting pot metaphor and give us a little insight into whether or not it still applies today. The first is Jose Antonio Orozco. He literally wrote a book called Toppling the Melting Pot. And he told me that the melting pot idea became really popular back in 1908 because of a Broadway play.
The idea of the story, is trying to tell a story of how Americans become American.
The play is about two immigrants fleeing persecution.
It's this story of transition from the old world to the new world and giving up the old world in order to become Americans.
At the turn of the 20th century, the U.S. was struggling to figure out how to welcome mass migration from Eastern and Southern Europe.
And there was concern that somehow this particular group of immigrants would somehow change not just the demographics, but the culture and the politics of the United States.
Orozco says the melting pot was actually used to promote assimilation, which, even back then, meant abandoning part of your old culture.
Norwegians in Minnesota were talking about how sad it was that the youth could no longer speak their languages.
So instead of using fresh ingredients to cook up spicy, multi-layered stew, Our melting pot has historically been foreign food made bland. And that's something I talked about with Jennifer LeMessurier, a writing and rhetoric professor at Colgate University, where she studies how people talk about food in relation to race in the US. She recently saw an example of this in a cookbook. It was marketed to Europeans trying to make non-European food.
It said, for this curry, if you want, you can add either 1 teaspoon of curry powder or mushroom and onion, but not both. And that was all the seasoning for an entire stew, which sounds horrible.
The truth is, this country has always struggled to figure out who is and is not allowed to be American.
Every new group of immigrants is always discriminated against by what they eat. We love pizza, we love spaghetti now, but when the Italians got here, people were like, you're eating worms on a plate. Why would you do that?
She agrees with Orozco that the melting pot metaphor has its limits.
That is part of why I find the melting pot metaphor not convincing, because it rests on this idea that everyone can access culture through food, and therefore everyone will become friends if you eat somebody else's food. And historically, that really hasn't been the case.
In fact, history tells us that while food is a great way to celebrate and learn about other people's cultures, it's also used to attack foreigners. LeMessurier brought up the Chinese Exclusion Act of the late 1800s as an example. Anti-Chinese rhetoric was rampant in California. Newspapers perpetuated the racist trope that Chinese people ate cats and dogs.
Right, that rumor is very, very old. And there are all these news stories of people accusing restaurant owners or even just other small business owners of, you had a cat and then the cat disappeared.
While that sounds incredibly insensitive and extreme, it also sounds a bit familiar.
We see this with President Trump's accusations against the Haitian community in Springfield, saying, oh, they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs.
So in some respects, we're right back in the 1800s. And LeMessurier says that's kind of normal.
History is never linear. Progress is never linear. I think there are a lot of really interesting cases that I think indicate progress.
Just because we haven't figured out how to get it right in the last 250 years doesn't mean we won't in the next 250 years. From the KPBS Kitchen, I'm Gustavo Solis.
Last month, the opening night of Karama's San Diego Arab Film Festival sold out a week in advance, so cinema junkie Beth Accomando is giving us an early preview of its second weekend of films set for April 17th.
Larry Christian, chair of the San Diego Arab Film Festival, says the quick sellout of the opening night film reflects what audiences want.
There is a hunger for cinema about Palestine and other parts of the Arab world, but we also want to not give the idea that what the Arab world is all about is victimization. We want to show the humanity, the creativity, the breadth.
So on the weekend of April 17th, the festival will feature Sudan Remember Us, a cinematic chorus of poetic voices, A Sad and Beautiful World, a love story from Lebanon, and Kali Malaga, a Moroccan film that flips a familiar narrative, says Jinan Abadi, a festival board member.
So instead of migration toward Europe, we have a Spanish woman in Morocco. And what it shows really is that even when you shift that perspective, the core human experience of trying to belong, to find your place, remains the same.
And that's what the festival excels at, finding the core humanity that can bring us all together. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the Museum of Contemporary Art San Diego, now showing Giants,
Art from the Dean Collection, featuring more than 130 works of art from the personal collection of musical and cultural icons Swiss Beatz and Alicia Keys. More at mcasd.org.